Welcome everyone to Ask the Pastor. I'm your host, Blake Gideon, lead pastor here at Edmonds First Baptist Church. It's great to be back with you. I know that Ask the Pastor has been gone for a little while, but we are ready to start this podcast back up. And so please continue to subscribe and share, like, all those good things that will help us build up our listening audience. Well, the purpose of this podcast is just to answer the questions biblically that people send in. And so I have two questions for today, and so we're going to jump right into it. The first question says, I have a question about the unpardonable sin. Is the tense used aorist, meaning one-time offense in the past? Well, great question, and so we are going to look at that passage. It's found in Mark chapter 3, also Matthew 12, but we'll look at Mark chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. And this is what the Word of God says. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons he cast out demons. And he called to him and said to them in parables, 'How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin." So, a couple of things here. And by the way, let's just go ahead and look at the Matthew passage as well. So, let me read that because I kind of stumbled over it. But Mark chapter 3, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin." And so we see that also in Matthew chapter 12, this issue of an unpardonable sin. Matthew 12, again, let me just pick it up here in verse 31. "Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this age or in the age to come." So, according to Jesus, this is one of the sins that will not be forgiven, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Again, just talking about this contextually, the guilty party here that Jesus is referring to is a group of Pharisees who had witnessed irrefutable evidence that Jesus was working miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, which declared him to be the Son of God. Okay, that's what Jesus was doing. By the power of the Spirit, working miracles, and the religious Pharisees of the day denied the work and actually attributed it to being a work of the devil. They actually believed that Jesus was possessed by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Thus, their eyes were closed to the truth. They were willfully defiant, and they rejected Christ, who was a long-awaited Messiah. And because of that, they committed an unpardonable sin. So contextually, let's think about it. Jesus was performing miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. They had blinded eyes, and they willfully chose to deny Christ, the witness of the Spirit, and they actually accused him of being demon-possessed. And Jesus says, listen, all other blasphemies that a person commits will be forgiven, but whoever blasphemes in this way, the sin is unpardonable. They will not be forgiven. To answer your question, that is an active verb in the aorist tense, which means that they were committing it at that time. Okay? So again, to answer your question specifically, when it says, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, let me look here again, chapter Matthew 12 and verse 31. Let me show that to you. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but blasphemies against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Okay, so yeah, again, that word blasphemies, they utter, the Bible says, blasphema is the noun. It's a genitive noun, a nominative noun. And then also blasphemo is the verb that's used there. And it's an aorist active, which means that they have rejected the witness of the Messiah right then at that point. And so it was a past event. And so what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit today? It's when everybody rejects the witness of the Spirit concerning the person of who Christ is. If they reject the witness of the Spirit concerning the truth claims of Christ, they've rejected Christ as the Messiah because of blinded eyes and willful unbelief, then there's no other way to be forgiven. The only way to be forgiven is to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay? So anyway, I hope that answers your question. Now, the second question I have for today, the person says, Pastor, one Wednesday evening, I was visiting with a lady who is fairly new to our church. She began talking about her excitement concerning the red heifers now being in Israel, which is a sign that Jesus will return soon. I went online and I found in Numbers where red heifers were used in cleansing, but nothing else. What are your thoughts or beliefs on this? All right, so let's just talk a little bit. Of course, in order to meet the requirements of the Old Testament law, a red heifer was needed in order to accomplish the Israelites' purification from sin. We see this in Numbers chapter 19. Specifically, they needed the ashes of the red heifer. Numbers 19 speaks of that. But the red heifer was also, the ashes were also necessary for the purification rites held in the temple. And many regard the red heifer today as a witness concerning the construction of the third temple, which those who hold to a futurist eschatology believes must take place before Jesus will return. And so those who hold to a futurist eschatology, in other words, they believe that everything in the book of Revelation is about the future. Again, many premillennials believe that a third temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem preceding the coming of the Lord, and that the ashes of the red heifer are necessary. So obviously this person has a premillennial view, a futuristic view of the end times, and this person who you spoke to believes that the red heifers being witnessed in Jerusalem is somehow a foreshadowing, if you will, or a preparation for the construction of the third temple, which will precede the coming of Jesus. Again, let me just read to you some scriptures and tell you why I don't believe that. I've got a lot of notes here, but let me just, what does the Bible say? So they believe that a third temple has to be rebuilt and that red heifers have to be sacrificed preceding the coming of Jesus. Well, I don't think that's necessary. I don't think a third temple has to be rebuilt. I don't think a red heifer has to be sacrificed. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. Jesus is the temple of God. There is no longer need for sacrificial system. For Christians, Hebrews 4:14 points to Christ being the Messiah and the great high priest. Hebrews 9:11 through 14 gives more details about Christ's qualifications as high priest. We don't need another high priest. Jesus is our high priest. He is the high priest. He gives good things to those who come to him. He entered into a more perfect temple through his own blood as our sacrifice. Therefore, we no longer need the blood of bulls and goats and heifers. We don't need those things anymore. To say that we do need those things is to undermine the cross and the finished work of Jesus. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us, or well, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a defiled person with the ashes of a heifer, again, that undermines the work of Christ. So those who believe that the temple has to be rebuilt, and they believe that the Jews have to start sacrificing all over again. Well, Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. Okay? We don't need to rebuild the temple. We don't need a reinstitution of the sacrifices. Jesus is the fulfillment of all those things. And so even though I can respect those who have a premillennial understanding of eschatology, I just think they're misinformed about what the Bible clearly teaches. Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrificial system. Christ himself is the fulfillment of the temple itself. And so, no, we don't need to be looking for red heifers as a sign for Christ's return. Christ can return at any moment, and we need to be prepared for that by trusting in him as our personal Lord and Savior. This is not a divisive issue. This is no reason to disfellowship. This is a secondary issue. So no reason to divide with another believer or argue over this issue. Okay? We all believe, whether you're an amillennial, whether you're premillennial, whether you're postmillennial, we all believe in the literal, visible return of Jesus Christ. And that's what is that is what determines our orthodox view of Christianity. So as long as we believe in a literal, visible return of Jesus, then there's room for agreement, even though we may disagree on when that may occur. So anyway, there's my understanding. Jesus is our perfect sacrifice, no longer a need for a red heifer. Those who understand it that way, I believe personally it's built upon a misunderstanding of what Jesus teaches about the end time. Even though I can respect the view of premillennialism, I do not hold to the view of premillennialism. So thank you for tuning in today. I appreciate you so very much for all your questions. Please continue to send your questions in as I look forward to answering them in the future. God bless. Until we meet again, serve the King.